Good morning, all you cheery people that came out on a cloudy day. Today our message is called Christ in Me. And we're going to open with a scripture from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. You know, when we say yes to Jesus and make him the Lord of our lives and repent of our sins, our salvation is complete. Jesus said, it is finished. Nothing we can do or suffer will make our reservation in heaven any more complete than it is the moment we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord. So, from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray. Father, we come before you with humble hearts. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to pay the penalty for our sins. Thank you for sending us your Holy Spirit to teach us that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Fill us afresh with your glorious truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Christ suffered. He suffered on the cross for our sins. He endured suffering that man inflicted upon him. You know, we're getting ready for Passover coming soon. And when we celebrate resurrection of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But we need to remember what he has done for us and how he paid that price for each and every one of us so that we can live with him eternally. He suffered as a human being. He had physical weariness. He had faced temptation. He had much sorrow. And he experienced rejection from his own creation, from us. There's no greater rejection than that. Jesus suffered on the cross. He shared our sufferings when we suffer for his sake. God's plan for each generation is to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God expects us to win the one next to us. What still remains is the suffering which obedience may cost and the sacrifice which Christians often endure because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we make others thirsty? Do you remember in the word where it tells us that we should be salt that we should be salty. We are to be the channel between the Lord and the unbelieving world. We must be so in union with Christ that we can be an effective channel through which Christ's life can flow to create new life in others. The more a person is in fellowship with Christ, the more he understands the fellowship of suffering for the sake of the gospel. Do others see a difference in us? Jesus Christ is at home in every believer. This is God's open secret. This is why we share the secret that we all know. Secret means a revelation of something which had been hidden. Christianity is not a religion, but a person. It is Christ living in you. The secret of Christianity, which is Christ in me, brings salvation and righteousness. Forgiveness is not all we need. We also need to be changed. We cannot change our own nature, just as a surgeon cannot operate on their own brain. God can solve this for us. He came to earth in human form. First, he showed us how much he loved us when he died for our sins. Next, he freely provides us with a new nature, his own nature, that makes the necessary changes in us. However, since he gave us a will, we have our own will to choose. He does not come in by force, but he will come in if we ask him to. So the nature of Christ's spirit and our own spirit are opposites. One hungers for God and desires to please him, and the other hungers for material things and wants to please self. We must decide many times a day which appetite we will satisfy. Before we became a Christian, our lives were controlled exclusively by our one nature, our own. But when we became Christians, we acquired a new nature, which also wants to express itself. The new nature understands and responds to God's will for us. It wants to talk to God, to read his word, and tell others about Christ, the hope that we have within us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 5 through 7. There is a life of victory for us if we will surrender to God's Spirit. Surrender to him makes all the power of heaven available to us. And the worship we had this morning showed us that. Holy Spirit, rain down on us, fill us, empower us. So beginning at verse 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose, and has given us his Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. But we live by faith, not by sight. So, if the old nature wants to walk by sight, but the new nature walks by faith, it's not necessarily how we feel, what we think, or what people are telling us. We have to believe in what the Lord has shown us in his word. So the old nature, as I said, walks by sight, but the new nature walks in faith. Victory is experienced only when our new nature receives more food than the old one. That is why it is important to read God's word and pray and obey him. How do you know God's will for your life? What do you do? We have to look at his word. We have to believe that what he says is true. And then we have to obey what he has said. So the Apostle Paul tells us of his work in the church and also tells us of the importance of prayer. He worked through the energy that God gave him. He worked as though all of the success depended on him. But he prayed knowing the success of his work depended completely on God. That's what we need to do. Work, occupy, do what the Lord has called us to do. And do it like it all depends on us. And then pray because it all depends on God. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13, and then we're going to skip down to 19 through 22. Ephesians chapter 1. So we all know something of how it must have felt in Paul's time to be a believer in Christ, which goes against the flow of those around us. But now we belong to the household of faith. That is worth shouting about. Hallelujah. We are a family. We are a part of a household of God. We are not alone. So, beginning at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. And then down through 19 through 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. What are we built on? We're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, too, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Glory, hallelujah. Every Christian, based on the relationship with Christ, is joined together with every other person that is a believer. And together, we become a holy temple. We may at times feel alone, but we are never outside of God's control and care. When we follow Jesus and experience an increasingly intimate relationship with him, we become an essential part of his grand design, both individually and corporately, as we are identified as a living, breathing temple that honors him. The church is not an organization, it is an organism. And together, we are the temple of Jesus Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul labored hard and overcame many difficulties. In verse 7 of chapter 3 in Ephesians, Paul said, "I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power." Labor takes concentrated power. It takes something out of you. However, the more we labor in God's work, the more help we have from him in it. He gives you the strength you need every single day. He is our supplier. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, you know, this set of scripture talks about the full armor of God. But we're focusing just on verse 10 because it's our mandate, which if we listen, then all the rest falls into place. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The Holy Spirit empowers us. He is the dynamite, the dunamis power of God in the Greek. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 tells us we are reflecting Christ. We have the light of God within us. So light doesn't necessarily mix with darkness, as we all know. So just because somebody doesn't like you doesn't mean you're doing something wrong. It might be. It's because you're reflecting Jesus and you are causing them to feel that. And you are bringing conviction into their soul. So verse 18 says, "And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Remember, Jesus walked with us. He walked with the disciples and those of the time that he was on earth. But now we have the blessing of having him within us. He is not just on the outside, but he has moved from the outside into the inside because he has given us his Spirit. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2, 2 through 4. What was Paul's purpose? And what should be our purpose as a church? Colossians 2, 2 through 4. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." We need to know the true word of God if we are going to be able to stand against false prophets, false teachers, against things that we know are not true but sound pretty good. So how can we do this? Well, first of all, by prayer. The secret of powerful prayer is sacrifice. Wholehearted prayer requires a sacrifice of time and waiting on God. It assures us that we are not ashamed of our faith in Christ. When we are rich in faith, we have the security and the confidence that we can respond to opportunities to share our faith with others. This should not be hard. It should not be a burden. It should be a joy. Because when you are in love with someone, you want others to know them. So the secret to understanding is Christ. He is the key that opens all the hidden treasures of God's wisdom and knowledge. And they're in Christ Jesus. And we can secure them if we make the effort. We must be steadfast in faith and in unity. There is nothing that pleases the Lord as much as his family to have unity of purpose, oneness in spirit, harmony of faith, and singleness of heart. The only place that the real and lasting oneness can be found is in Christ. When people are in harmony with Christ, they are in harmony with one another. Unity and love comes from God. Disunity and hate comes from the enemy. Just like disease is not from God. We have ease from God. Disorder means everything is chaotic. Order comes from God. Division is not part of God's kingdom or his family. We have to have a vision of bringing the lost, of sticking together as one to declare the glory of the Lord. When we receive Jesus into our lives, he indwells us by his Holy Spirit. His Spirit comforts, strengthens, teaches, and guides. The more we learn about God's will through his word, the more we must obey it in our daily lives. The more we obey God, the more we will grow as a Christian. Life in Christ is the only complete life. At Pentecost, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4, by the way, verses 11 and 12. You know, at Pentecost, Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he asked this assembled crowd to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then in Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12, Peter also informed them that the only way to be drawn back into an intimate relationship with God is to be saved by his name. Verse 11 and 12 of chapter 4. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. It would be much more acceptable or easier if each of us could choose our own path to heaven. You know, there's many religions that promote the concept that there are many paths to choose from, and they all ultimately will lead you to the same God. This is not the truth. There is only one way, and Jesus paid that price so we could live with God forever. We're going to also look at chapter 10 of Acts, verses 39 through 43. We still make our own decision, but the direction we select will lead us towards God or away from Him. Peter is telling us in this lesson, beginning at verse 39, he's talking about himself and others who were there. He said he was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You know, Don and I used to sell hitches that my stepfather had invented, and we did all kinds of shows, whether it was a farm show or doing a Good Sam's Club where there was RV people who travel around the country and they get together. And I remember at one of the shows we met this man, and we just talked about Jesus like he was sitting with us. And all at once, he was elated. He was a brother in Christ Jesus. And you know, wherever we went, it seemed like his RV was there, and he was there. I don't care what state it was. If we were doing a Good Sam's show, he was there. And he would come and sit with us and tell us things that God had done for him and his family. And then all at once he would stop and he'd go, I haven't testified about this yet. That is being salt. It is sharing that testimony. And the more you share, and the more you love Jesus, the more you want to do it, and the saltier you become. And you cause others to thirst after righteousness. They want what you have. And I remember at the end of every show, he would come and he would give us a hug. And he'd say, either here, there, or in the air, we will meet again. I will never forget that. And I'm sure he is already in heaven waiting for us. He was already an older fellow. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 2 through 6. You know, it is a fact that Jesus came back to life that sets him apart from all other religions. That is what you always need to go back to. Everyone else died. Whoever they follow, whatever religion, they're following a dead God. Yours is the only one that came back to life after he took our sins and was resurrected and spent another 40 days walking amongst his brethren. So, beginning at verse 2, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who is to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We are included. We are among those who are called. What glory there is in that. In verse 4, it closes, the Apostle Paul, he's wrapping up his sentence with a triumphant declaration. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Each one of those four words is significant. Jesus means the Lord saves. Christ means the anointed one, God's promised Messiah. Our designates the relationship is personal. Lord signifies one's owner, master, or ruler. Our last scripture is Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. We started in the book of Colossians. We're going to end in the book of Colossians. Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. You know, each one of us needs to identify exactly what Jesus means to us. He wants to be more than just her Savior. He wants to be the Lord of every area of our life. When we set apart Jesus Christ as Lord, we will hear Paul's exhortation of joy, fully committed to him, as he says in the Word, beginning at verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So what is our clarion call? What is he calling us to do? What has he told us today? We are Jesus' ambassadors. We are here on earth to show other people who he is and how he works and what he's done in our lives. That's how you testify. Who, what, when, where, so to speak. We are to be a reflection of his love and character as we shine a light into the darkness of this world. You know, the world is looking on, sometimes with curiosity, sometimes in derision. But our behavior and our demeanor as Christ ones are always under scrutiny. You can be maybe the only Bible that someone will ever read is how you are living, how you are standing, how you love the Lord Jesus. So what we project to others in the way we live testifies about who we really are. This is the sending out of believers. We are to do everything in the name of Jesus. We are to do what Jesus was doing. This is our clarion call to Christians everywhere, to live in a manner that is completely different from the world around us. You know, one of my pet peeves are churches who have become so like the world trying to do things as the world. That how can you tell there's a difference when if you live like the world? What is different about that? We must remain separate from what the world is calling us to be. Are you up for the challenge? There is no greater source of power than the name of Jesus Christ to help us to be successful in meeting this challenge. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we dedicate ourselves to be people of God. We want to follow Jesus and enjoy a restored relationship with you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may focus on pursuing the things above, focusing on finding out what you want us to do and becoming the people you want us to be as you continue to work in our hearts. The things in which most of us invest ourselves, our family, jobs, houses, recreation, hobbies, will not consume all of our energy, time, and resources. Instead, we will focus on learning to love Jesus more and more fully and knowing him intimately. Thank you for loving us in spite of ourselves. We repent of our sins, and we will live as your ambassadors for Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Don has a closing worship song for